Thanks for tuning into Americana Music Profiles. The next episode starts right now.
You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. Richard Lynch says he's been playing his brand of country music for almost 40 years. His music is often topping both domestic and international radio airplay chart. In this edition of Americana Music Profiles, Richard takes a few moments out of his daily life on the family farm to talk about his new album, My Guitar Drips Country, featuring 12 original songs.
Hi, Richard. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thanks for taking the time to chat with us. I understand that you living on a farm still, a busy man. You probably got a lot going on.
Yeah, we live on a farm. It's just been springtime, or getting towards summer things. A lot of stuff going on. Horses and hay fields starting to look pretty thick. So yeah, we'll be really busy when that hay comes in.
I bet. So you are, do I have this right, you are in Ohio, Waynesville?
Yes, Waynesville, Ohio, about 30 miles north of Cincinnati.
Okay. Has that always been home for you, that area?
Yeah, the Warren County area has always been home. I grew up in a little town called Lebanon, graduated from school there, and here the last 20 years I call Waynesville my home. It's about 6 miles apart, so okay. Not too far.
How did music become a thing for you as a child?
Yeah, I was, I kind of grew up in country music. My dad was an incredible entertainer, singer.
Okay.
Just very talented, and I knew at a young age that's something that I really wanted to do.
Cool.
My first experience being on a stage, my dad invited me up on his stage, and I was 8 years old. And
oh, wow.
Got to do an old Buck Owens song. I'll never forget it, and the crowd was well received, and I was bit pretty early by the country music bug.
Were you just singing or playing and singing at that age?
Oh, back then I didn't play anything. I was just singing, and I just knew the love for music was there at a young age.
Uh-huh.
And it's, the love is still there, and it's such a neat thing to be able to keep and preserve real traditional country music out there, because there's such a need for it today.
Sure. Yeah. Oh my. Yeah. I was listening to some of your music on the website. You've got a real, that classic late 80s, early 90s feel, when country was getting a little newer, but it still retained that traditional country feel. Yeah, it feels like you've landed right in the middle of all of that good stuff right there.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
When did it become something you wanted to pursue professionally?
Well, I having a dad for a country music, dad, I had a couple opportunities that came my way that maybe other folks, it wouldn't have happened for them. But,
mm-hmm.
At a young age, I knew something at a young age that, there was that drive and that direction to make a dollar at it and ultimately be to the point where someday I could call myself, full time. And, back in the 80s and 90s, we could play 6-7 nights a week.
Yeah.
Because, the music was just so prevalent, and there's so many clubs and stuff that we made a good living then. Nowadays, we don't have quite the opportunity, but we still love the music, and we still love the fact that we can get out and entertain folks. And, we're compensated nicely, and we love what we do,
And you've been doing this for a while. You're not a recent entry into the music scene. I think I read 30 years or so you've been at this.
Well, actually, that's a misprint. It's closer to 40. So.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Well, right. It was counting,
Right, there you go. Well, at that point, it's you're pushing legendary status. So.
Well, I appreciate that. If you love the music and the people really want to clamor to your music, if you're doing something that the folks want to hear, it's easy to get up there and perform, and if you're loving what they're doing, then you're being received really well.
Have you been able to pursue it as a full-time venture, either then or now or somewhere in between? Has it always been something you add into your life, or have you been able to pursue it full-time?
Yeah, I've always done it as often as possible. You know, I worked it in between my farm life, and you know, I've even had a construction company for a few years where I would, you know, whatever entrepreneurship I was pursuing, working in music was still part of whatever I was doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
never set it aside. You know.
Yeah. When did you move back to farming? Has that always been there as well, or is that something that came a little bit later on?
Well, I grew up on a farm, and I always had that appreciation for it. And I knew at a young age that I wanted to have my own farm. As I got older, I was lucky enough to fulfill that dream. And oddly enough, we even, to this day, we bring country music artists, Grendel Opera stars, and national stars to our farm.
Mm-hmm.
And we do four or five shows a year, maybe six shows a year right here on the farm. So
okay.
it's country music in a country environment, and I live and breathe it, man.
Yeah, what better way to get a dual purpose? That's awesome.
Yeah.
Tell me what traditional Lynch TV is. I caught a couple episodes on YouTube. Tell me about that.
Well, traditionally, Lynch is a live show that we video every show that we do here on our farm.
Okay.
And, you know, we'll have people like David Frizzell and T. Graham Brown and Confederate Railroad and many, Jeannie Seeley and many others, that's mm-hmm. Grandville Opera stars, that will join us here on our farm. And we film all our shows, and then we'll come up with a half-hour television show that airs. It was aired, it had been aired quite a bit until the coronavirus kind of cut us off.
Right, yeah.
By that, I mean we wasn't able to film our shows anymore because we only had 13 shows in the can, and when that ran out, we did a whole rerun of 13 shows, and ultimately we let that go until we had the ability to refilm and record all our shows again.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's a show that stabilizes the shows. That, you know, we play traditional country music. We do most of our own music, but we'll do some, you know, some real familiar cover tunes. And then, you know, we get to show off with our friends, or we call our friends from the Grand Ole Opry stars.
Yeah, that's cool.
A lot of fun.
So along the way, you've been able to record some music and have some charting success with that. Tell me about the songwriting process for you. Are you writing your own songs, or are you bringing in songs from other songwriters?
Well, I write my own music. We just finished our fifth full-length studio-released album from Nashville.
Okay.
In February of this year. So it's really, it's been amazing to watch, you know, kind of sit back and watch the interest that's came from the fact that we released these new CDs. And, you know, I have recorded music that other folks have wrote and was glad to do that. But there is so much gratification as a songwriter when you finally get to put that pen and paper and ultimately get in that studio.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you're holding this new CD and stuff, and you know that it came from your soul and your heart, and then people are asking for that music. That is so gratifying for me. It's kind of like I've become full circle at that point.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Do you have a method or approach to writing your songs? When do you get inspired? When do you have a set aside time for creativity? How does that all work for you?
Well, I'll tell you this. My method is whenever I get an idea, I better stop whatever I'm doing and go write it down right then, because it goes away just about as fast as it comes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, I listen, and I like to be inspired by somebody's conversation, or I'll hear somebody say something. I'm like, oh, I got to write that line down.
Mm, okay.
And you never know where that inspiration will come from. I can be on a tractor out in the middle of a farm, or driving down the interstate, or just having a conversation with a disc jockey. You never know where that conversation
mm-hmm.
will come from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It makes for a long day if you have a lot of inspiration, I suppose. So the new CD that you just spoke of, My Guitar Drips Country. Did I get that right?
That's correct.
Yeah, when did that come out?
Just in February of this year. We just released it in February 12th of this year. And people have asked me, where did you come up with that title, My Guitar Drips Country?
Mm-hmm.
And the story goes, I was fortunate enough to play with a guy named Doug Supernall back mm-hmm. in the 90s. Doug yeah. had some hits back in the 90s. And we had became friends, and then the last 5 or 6 years we reacquainted, and he was doing a little radio interview, and I heard him tell a disc jockey, you know, hey, listen, my guitar drips country.
Hmm.
So I've always loved that line, and I wrote there's a song in there that's in dedication, because we just lost Doug this year,
mm-hmm.
or I said last year. And I wrote that song with a dedication and a tribute to my friend Doug Supernall, because, you know, he was such an influence on me and has been for many, many years. And the fact that we became friends and did shows together, when I heard him say that line, I knew I had to write it
yeah.
and do a tribute for him. So that song ultimately
okay.
Landed in the album. And I was so happy with the song that I wanted to just kind of name the whole song around that title, yeah. My Guitar Drips Country.
Yeah, that's cool.
We're going to pause for just a moment. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the interview.
Have you had a chance to share this music with the new record with your fans, with listeners?
Oh, yeah. You know, the most wonderful thing, a flattering thing that I can get from someone who listens to my music is they'll hear a song and they'll say, like, hey, Richard, I love this new song. It's almost as though you wrote this song for me.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And you know, when you hear that, because I like writing from the heart. I like putting that emotion in the
mm-hmm.
music.
Mm-hmm.
And when you hear someone say something like that there, it's like, okay, they just connected with what I was feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what a compliment, and it's so flattering that you can make that connection.
Yeah. Have you had these songs together for a while? Do you set out to create enough songs for a CD, or do you, when you get enough, you go take them to the studio?
That's exactly what I do. I write songs. I might write a song today, and it may be 3 months or four before I get an inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've had situations where I write 4 songs in a week. So, you know, when we get these songs and we really feel strong about them, and I don't just get in the studio and record them just because I wrote them. I like to get other people's opinions. I'll play them for my wife, or I'll play them for a manager, and I'll play them for band members. And I kind of want to get somebody else's outer perspective, not mm-hmm. just my own.
Yeah.
And ultimately, when we get those 10 or 12 or 13 songs that we want to put on the album, I feel good about them because I shared them with enough folks who appreciate and
yeah.
respect what I'm doing
yeah.
to kind of give me a well-rounded opinion.
Yeah.
And I think it's worked out really well for us.
Do you get to massage those songs on stage in some of your shows before you head to the studio?
We have done it a few times.
Uh-huh.
And an example is we lived here on a farm, and it's been an album or so back that I recorded a song called The Old Feed Store. And there's a friend of mine here in Lebanon area where he had just purchased the old feed store, and that had been closed for many, many years.
Hmm.
And it was years since I had been in it, and he told me he's going to record this. They're going to buy the feed store, and he said, "Won't you write me a song? We'll get it out there." I said, "I'm going to do just that." So I sat down,
that's cool,
and I wrote a song about the old feed store, and we did it live to, you know, make awareness at his feed store, and it was so much fun because it was a genuine experience and a genuine place, and people really wanted to you know, reconnect with that old feed store again, and ultimately it's flourishing, and he's doing quite well in business right now.
Yeah,
so
that
was
great.
A lot of fun.
Yeah. Do you have a feel for the kind of audience that connects with your music? Is it a broad audience, or is it kind of a specific audience that migrates to the type of stuff that you do?
Well, surprisingly enough, I'm really blown away that how diverse the audience is.
Yeah.
We're seeing more and more younger folks you know, come to our shows and
yeah,
be involved.
That's good.
And when I, and if someone comes to me that's a younger person that's, you know, that loves traditional country music, and they have an interest in pursuing that music, you know what? I want to be that guy that can help these youngsters out.
That's good. That's awesome.
There was a day that I needed a hand.
Yeah.
And ultimately, if I could help somebody out and, you know, get them a gig or get them a part of the show or something, that, you know, it's doing two things. It's helping them, it's building confidence, and it's also keeping our kind of music alive.
Yeah, yeah. I love seeing the appreciation for the older style starting to come back in the classic country style and even the classic bluegrass feel. Just that the Americana, the roots feel of that music seems to be really resonating with the younger audience. It's very encouraging.
You're exactly right.
You have been at this, you said 40 years. What's left for you career-wise that you want to see yourself be able to do with your music?
Well, you know, opportunities just keep arising, and I've done so many things that I'm proud of, and I call them feathers in my hat, and I'm appreciative of that. But I would like to say someday that I graced the stage of the Grand Ole Opry.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it happens or not remains to be seen. You know, it's not a dead game changer if it doesn't, but that'd be something that I would love to see.
Yeah.
And maybe record a you know, a song or so with a couple of my heroes, people like, you know, George Strait or Alan Jackson or some of the folks that's really been an influence on me over the years.
Sure.
That would be pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. What does it look like going forward, you know, waiting on the world to open up? Do you have do you tour? Do you have plans to tour? What does it look like getting this music with this record out to the fans?
Well, we do. Last year we had 49 cancellations.
Oh, my.
You know, in the world of, you know, music, that's not a whole lot, but it's, you know, that's substantial.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, we're starting to see summer of 21 start to rebook, reopen, and get a few of those dates rescheduled.
Yeah.
And
that's good.
Yeah, we're not going to set the world on fire this year. But we do believe by the end of this year and the first of 2022, a lot of musicians will be able to, you know, get close to that schedule that they were performing at in, 2019 before all this hit.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, and your question is, you get it out and get that music played and get this album promoted. We're doing several states this year. I think we're doing 11 states right now that we have committed to. So, you know, we're not 100% yet, but yeah, it's opening up for us.
And what do those venues look like? You said you've got 11 states. What type of
county fairs, some theaters. We're doing some really, really nice theaters in Tennessee and in Texas and in Georgia, actually in Florida also. The northern states are Ohio, Indiana, a couple places up here, West Virginia. They book some places here with us. There are outside venues for the county fairs, which is substantial, because last year a lot of places canceled all the state fairs and everything.
Yeah.
So there is a ray of hope out there.
Yeah, sure. That's good. Yeah. There's a lot of people that are counting on that ray of hope. Do you have a particular venue that you enjoy over another? When you see it on the schedule, you kind of get a little kick, you know, you know that's going to be a fun environment for you personally.
Well, what I'm going to tell you may surprise you. We travel all over the country. I love playing Texas. I love playing Florida. I love playing Tennessee. But the most appreciative people in our U.S. of A. are the people that live in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan.
Hmm.
And we get a chance to play up there. They are so appreciative of the fact that they get to hear live music and somebody can, because they're a very remote community.
Yeah. Okay.
And we get up there and do some things for our veterans and for our some friends up there. And you know, when you see people come up there, they have a lot of fun, and they really want to show the entertainers how much they're appreciated.
Wow.
And I never played up there yet to where they just didn't make me feel like I was, just a mega star.
Yeah,
they treat me really, really well.
Yeah,
up there.
That's cool. That's good. So the new CD, again, is My Guitar Drips Country. Richard Lynch, what's the best way for folks to engage with you, get a hold of your music, check out your schedule?
Well, the best way to find out anything about me is to go to richardlynchband.com. That's L-Y-N-C-H, richardlynchband.com. You can find anything and everything there is to know about me, the new CDs, our merchandise, our tour dates, our reschedules, our interviews, our TV interviews, anything and everything. Probably find out more than you ever want to know about me on there.
So. That's cool. Well, thank you, Richard. I appreciate your time. It's been good talking to you, and we certainly wish you well on the upcoming stretch with this new music.
Well, thank you for having me. I hope we cross paths in the near future.
Me too. Thank you, sir.
Bye now.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune in to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.